The presidential motorcade has just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
Our week starts out with utter tragedy on a natural disaster level. And we want to be thinking of those in Houston who are dealing with Hurricane Harvey's after effects of the flooding and the devastation that it's brought. And think of the ways you can be involved, whether you have the means to get down there and help, or if you're like I am, where because of my limited mobility on travel and some other instances that have gotten in the way, that I can at least donate. There's ways to go about helping, but we want to keep Houston, we want to keep Texas, Corpus Christi, Galveston, all those areas in your prayers. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. And as somebody that's lived on the coast, I've encountered my share of hurricanes. I mean, last year we got nailed extremely hard to where we had about 4 days of power out. And we're actually right now, come to find out, we've got a tropical storm that could turn into a hurricane heading our way and is slightly affecting us at the moment of this of the show recording. So just to give you a heads up, I'm very familiar with how hurricanes happen, what it's like to go through one, and the government's response to it, and the people's response. And that's the thing. Now, I haven't been to the level of, you know, what Houston's going through, where they're completely underwater. I mean, if you've seen some of the videos and pictures, I mean, there's interstates with signs, you know, they say, next exit coming up, you know, 2 miles above the entire interstate. The water is barely touching that. I mean, if you think about that, tractor trailers, bridges have to go under that. So it's basically, I mean, that's an amazing amount of water. And if you live in a low-lying area like that, even a two-story house could be close to submerged all the way. So we want to be thinking of those who are dealing with this. My friends on Twitter, like Crusader Girl and Sergeant Bat XGOP, and all of my friends down in Texas who have been giving me little updates as things have been going on. We want to think of them and keep them in prayer. But there's a couple things that I've seen from the left side that, yet again, they can find a way to be as tolerant as they are and as inclusive as they claim. They find a way to be a bunch of heartless a-holes, for lack of a better term. Just heartless, and just they find a way to politicize everything. I mean, first off, The Hill had a piece that said Trump attacks Mexico, NAFTA, Democrat senator in morning tweets as Harvey battles Texas. Well, I mean, how much does it take to make a tweet? I mean, if you think that he is on Twitter so much that he can't do his job, I mean, yeah, he's on it a lot. But first off, Twitter only lets you have 140 characters. So pumping out a tweet, you're kind of limited as to how much you can put into it. So he might make a couple statements, but if you know anything about Trump's pattern, you know, in my mind, I kind of paint that he gets up in the morning, he watches a little news, he rolls into the Golden Throne in the Oval Office. That's probably been what he replaced it with. He modified the White House laboratory with a Golden Throne, and he's decided to sit down and drop a couple deuces and tweet his heart out. But I don't think that's really getting in the way of how he conducts the federal end of disaster relief. And, you know, the other thing that you have to look at is a lot of people are getting up in arms about the mayor of Houston, who was telling people to stay in place while the governor told everybody to leave. Well, I see both sides of it. I can't sit there and subscribe to what the Trumpists think as this kind of Ray Nagin-ish conspiracy where they go, well, you know, the mayor of New Orleans probably wanted to get people killed. So he decided, hey, why don't you guys stay here And then that way, when you all die, we can blame it on Trump. After hearing his statement, I don't quite get that that's where he was going with. Let's check out his statement real quick.
To try to put forth some sort of evacuation in a couple of days the logistics would have been crazy. In the city of Houston, there are 2.3 million people. When you combine that with Harris County, you're talking about 6.5 million people. Where are they going? The decision that we made was a smart one. It was in the best interest of Houstonians.
So if you think about it, and their city municipal governments, they're very reactionary. I mean, we had that happen here a few times where, you know, we took a response on something lightly, and the next thing you know, it hit us hard. And so the next time something happened, we took it really heavy. And next thing you know, it wasn't really that big of a deal. And then we kind of overdid it. You know, and he's probably thinking about the response to Rita, where Hurricane Rita, all those people, 60 people died trying to escape. You know, I'm not making a pass for this guy. I'm not giving an excuse for the mayor. But at the same time, it's not some conspiracy. Think about Atlanta with the snowstorms where they blew it off. Ah, no big deal. Next thing you know, the entire city at rush hour traffic is stuck out on the interstate for about 12 hours or so. At the same token, the next storm that came through, their reaction was really over the top and nothing really happened. So that's kind of a regular thing on the municipal level. But you have to think about the other politicization by the left on these kind of situations. You know, one of the things that I've been seeing is just the insensitivity of people. Like, one person tweeted, "This is life under Trump. Galveston authorities are asking private, untrained citizens with flat-bottom boats to assist with rescues. God help us all." I mean, seriously? The charity of our neighbors. That's what conservatism was all about. Government not being able to save everyone is an example as to why you do not look towards them. I mean, that's the most amazing part of it all, is that's how they view the government. You know, they think that, like this other thing that I saw, another person, Hend Armory, I don't know who this person is, but she said, "I checked on my sister in Houston. Grocery shelves are stripped clean. She's been on the hunt for bread. No one feels Trump's here for us." Really? That screenshot tweet tells you everything you need to know about society. The president should not have that much control. First off, I mean, seriously. They think that the government should restock the grocery stores because those people didn't adequately prepare? I mean, you come here, it's like the apocalypse. You know, water, milk, bread, you know all that stuff's going to go. I mean, people are going to hit up the alcoholic beverage control packing stores too, okay? They're going to think of everything under the sun, but I know the last time we did it, we thought of it 5 days out. We stocked up on the Monday, got hit on a Friday, the power was out for 4 days, and guess what? We were fine because we thought ahead. It's not like they don't live in those kind of situations. I mean, they're right there in the Gulf. They've had, you know, the last hurricane that hit Galveston was pretty devastating. And of course, Mark Ruffalo, you know, the Incredible Hulk in the Avengers movies. This guy. "It's time to get real and call it like it is. This storm, the likes of which we have no precedent, is because we are living in climate change." Yeah, no, not really. It has nothing to do with climate change there, Chief. I mean, ask Florida. Florida hasn't had a hurricane hit them in 12 freaking years. I mean, then you have this other guy, but when you're about to tweet, #PrayForTexas, but then you remember, and then he puts up a map of the Electoral College showing that Texas voted for Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Just hold your prayers off. Your political opponents, let them die. But that dovetails into what happened simultaneously on Sunday night, which was amazing to me. Antifa shows up in Berkeley. These people are having this march against hate rally, whatever it was called. They're just showing up, And I guess people just assume the media is painting them as Trump supporters, which, you know, it's just people that are just sick of this crap that's going on every time there's a rally or some march. And Antifa shows up. And of course, they showed up and start beating the tar out of everybody left and right. And it was amazing to watch online just to see the footage of just, you know, a family getting pounded by these people holding anarchy signs and screaming, you know, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all.
No Trump, no wall, no USA at all. No Trump, no wall, no USA at all. No Trump, no wall, no USA at all. No Trump, no wall, no USA at all. No Trump, no wall, no USA at all.
I mean, to me, this going on at the same time that you're seeing these amazing pictures of just neighbors helping each other out. People in boats. There's a 15-year-old taking his family speedboat with a couple of his family members down a street that's flooded, saving people. When you've got a guy who is walking out and the reporter asked him as he's getting his boat together, hey, what do you plan on doing? He's like, I'm going to go save lives.
You guys just jumping in to help out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Where are you coming from?
Texas City.
Texas City?
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do?
I'll go try to save some lives.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It was amazing to me the juxtaposition between the two. And I'm not just saying, well, Texas is a red state, so look at what, you know, they're doing. And California is a blue state, and look at what they're doing. I'm not even looking at it on that political angle. I'm looking at it on a good versus evil basis, okay? I'm not looking at it on a left versus right, although it does fall into that, and there's reasons for that. But I'm looking at it as a good versus evil, template. I mean, one of the things that, it's almost like, if you remember, we were talking about this a couple weeks back, where we were talking about how sometimes God gives a big reveal to something, and when you see it, you're like, wow, why didn't I notice this? You know, in the middle of our healthcare debate over whether or not the government should control the healthcare of the entire nation and whether or not we should be repealing it or not, Charlie Gard shows up and we watch government-controlled healthcare destroy the life of a child who could have probably gotten some sort of medical assistance. Not sure if it would have been successful, but at least they would have been given the opportunity for trying. And the same thing happened here. I mean, Sunday was a day where God lifts the shroud off of everything, shows you the realities, and you are to discern between these realities. Is it Antifa violence that you side with? Or is it the compassion of those in Texas? I mean, you have to decide what's right and just and how we as people are supposed to conduct ourselves. Do we take into our own hands violence? Or are we our brother's keeper? Are we the type to help our neighbors, regardless of the risk and personal cost, because we're compassionate? Do we place our faith in government? The type of system that Antifa ultimately desires, even though they say, oh, we don't because we're anarchists. What they're looking for is a global Marxist government and a global Marxist community. Do we wait for that group of so-called certified trained help from the government and the charity from tax funds, you know, where, well, do you not like the poor because you don't want to take the tax money that's ripped out of your paycheck and given to the government and the government pays for the poor? Does that mean you don't like the poor if you don't want that program to exist? Do you want that charity to supersede everything? Or do we pull out our personal property, our boats, canoes, kayaks, whatever, and we start rescuing people without government mandate, without the government giving us the green light to go do it? Do we donate to non-governmental charities, which I'll give you a few here in just a minute, that are actually helping efficiently and with low overhead, to where the money that you donate to that organization goes to the cause? It doesn't go to 85 to 90% administrative cost for the CEO of the organization. Sunday is an instructive moment, good versus evil. Let's see what side you're with. I mean, are you with vigilante justice of Antifa or compassion for Texas? I mean, it's amazing to me, the left, or what's left of the left, has adopted evil. This is what happens when murder is subsidized, Violence like Antifa is commended. Debauchery is lauded. And if you have any doubt in your mind, the goals of the Democrat Party, I mean, just listen to Antifa, because they support it completely. I mean, I'm not sure how, when they're saying, oh, we're fighting against hate, I'm not sure how beating someone with a pipe isn't fueled by hate. Were they rallying for or against hate? I'm not sure, especially when I watch those video clips. But there's a narrative that was forming. And it's basically, it's amazing. You see these two statements, one by a news reporter and one by somebody who is more on the side of those rallying, where the news reporter said the narrative forming today online is that it was super violent in Berkeley. There were some fights, but overall it wasn't actually. Really? And then the following tweet said, a man walking to a grocery store in Berkeley mistaken for a Nazi is beaten into a coma. How is that anything you want to support? And it looks as though Ben Shapiro and some of those people are going to show up September 14th. So we want to keep our eyes on that event. But we want to keep Texas in prayer. We also want to keep in mind that there are some organizations you can donate to help out. I mean, Eric Erickson from The Resurgent, he shared one that basically he said he's researched and they do not skim off the top of their administrative costs. missionaries.namb.net. That's missionaries.namb.net. You can also go to mercury1.org. Mercury1.org, that's Glenn Beck's crew. They are also looking to help as well. And keep those in Texas in your prayers. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
While one part of the nation was selflessly helping strangers in a time of crisis and need, and another side of the nation was viciously attacking people who were out there using their First Amendment rights in an act of vigilante justice, the MTV VMAs were on. Yeah, let's watch that. And as I said in the last segment, which side are you on? Who do you align with? Are you on the side showing compassion to others in a time of need, like in Texas? Or are you willing to lash out in violent anger in the name of fighting fascism? It's clear which side MTV unsurprisingly chose. Now, to be fair, at one point in the show, Katy Perry, who was the host, did finally make mention of the Texas disaster. At about 38 minutes into the broadcast, a lot of people online were kind of speculating. They were, when they were watching it, they were tweeting out saying, show's already a couple minutes in, and they haven't even mentioned the first thing on Houston. But Katy Perry, 38 minutes into the broadcast, said, we're praying for your safety in the days to come and stay with you as you rebuild, because we're all in this together. And she urged viewers to donate to the Red Cross, you know, for those in need. Chuck Hulick from Newsbusters, he noted the late recognition and quoted, ah, now a very short message from Katy Perry about Harvey and encouragement to donate to the Red Cross. Back to whining about Trump. And that's exactly what they did. I'll show you that in a few minutes. Even reporters from the Huffington Post noticed this strange phenomenon. Doa Madani said, I don't know how I feel about Katy Perry joking about all the awful stuff going on right now, considering I've been covering Harvey all weekend, hashtag VMAs. That was the extent of it. I mean, it's not as though previous VMAs didn't beat the dead horse of tragedy, especially if there was any way to loosely pin it on their political enemies. I mean, think about Katrina references abounding numerous times throughout the entire show, the year of that VMA award show. But MTV decided to use its cultural influence and use it on every other progressive political lexicon. Let's take multigender fluidity. Pink told the story about her 6-year-old daughter feeling ugly and looking like a boy. And Pink replied that pointing out David Bowie, Prince, Janis Joplin, Annie Lennox, and others are examples of fabulous, famous androgyny. Because, you know, we got to celebrate the 63 different genders that don't exist when only two of them are real. The speech landed because of the way it lifted from her own life to lightly comment on larger current issues about nonconformity, sexism, and acceptance, of course. Less subtle was the ribbon she wore that read, FUMP truck. Well, we know what that means. Then the exploitation of Charlottesville and the war on statues arose. From the article, a remarkable portion late in the show turned almost fully from pop to politics to address the fallout from the violence in Charlottesville. Reverend Robert Lee IV, a descendant of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee, took to the stage saying, quote, "We have made my ancestor an idol of white supremacy, racism, and hate. As a pastor, it is my moral duty to speak out against racism, America's original sin." And then he introduced Susan Breaux, the mother of Heather Hare, the woman who was killed in the car attack in Charlottesville, who, speaking at surprisingly length with significant composure, she announced the formation of a scholarship and praised the winner of the VMA for Best Fight Against the System category for videos of social change. Now, how this Robert Lee, the fourth guy, made it even into the building is amazing to me. If ESPN can't even have an Asian guy by the name of Robert Lee commentate on a UVA football game because of what happened in Charlottesville, I would say the direct Confederate bloodline of General Robert E. Lee should have been beaten by Antifa people right there on the front door of the arena hosting the VMAs. He shouldn't have even made it through the freaking entrance. But, you know, he's got the political side that the leftists enjoy. So he's going to be given a red carpet right on in.
My name is Robert Lee IV. I'm a descendant of Robert E. Lee, the Civil War general whose statue was at the center of violence in Charlottesville. We have made my ancestor an idol of white supremacy, racism, and hate. As a pastor, it is my moral duty to speak out against racism, America's original sin. Today, I call on all of us with privilege and power to answer God's call to confront racism and white supremacy head on. We can find inspiration in the Black Lives Matter movement, the women who marched in the Women's March in January, and especially Heather Heyer, who died fighting for her beliefs in Charlottesville. It is my distinct honor to introduce Susan Breaux, Heather Heyer's mother, who is continuing to magnify Heather's work.
And see, when you listen to statements like that, it goes to show that he is definitely somebody that is going to be the type of person who is going to get the pass. Now, Paris Jackson, she added her two cents on Nazis.
I leave here tonight remembering that we must show these Nazi white supremacist jerks in Charlottesville and all over the country that as a nation with liberty as our slogan, we have zero tolerance for their violence, their hatred, and their discrimination. We must resist.
Yeah, so the pylon on the narrative of white supremacy and Nazis in the culture of MTV is being set so that your kids, who are just completely void of any of the real facts because Antifa is made to be look like noble freedom fighters and white supremacy and statues of the Confederacy are looked to be this evil plague that is suddenly emerging and wiping the nation into KKK bigotry. Well, while all they're doing is waiting for Khalid or whoever the pop sensation of the moment is to get their award, you know, they're going to suck all this in and take it for gospel. But let's not leave out any other opportunity to attack the president. Let's do this during a commercial break so all the Trumpers out there that may be watching on TV don't get up in arms and attack you on social media and start boycotting everybody involved with the MTV Music of Video Awards. Let's go ahead and play this whack old track during the commercial break. Trump. So on the other side of the break, I want to get more into how politics is being injected into something it should not even be in. Stick with me.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back. With the horrific tragedy unfolding in Texas due to Hurricane Harvey, the politicization doesn't seem to be taking a time out for sucking on orange slices, you know, the Little League sports reference there for those of you that are unaware, or even taking a moment out for compassion. I mean, many decided to chastise the state of Texas as to whether or not prayers should be administered solely based on who their citizenry voted for in the presidential elections. In fact, a Dear Prudence question, which is in question and answer column, which appears in Slate magazine, covered a similar sentiment. Question: I come from the Houston area and have been heartbroken about the damage and scenes from Harvey. I decided to donate $250 and asked my girlfriend if she would match it. She agreed. And then when I asked if she had given to the Red Cross or someone else, I learned that she donated to the Humane Society. I know she's absolutely nuts about animals, especially our own dogs, but to give to animals when people are in trouble seems heartless to me. She's much more politically active than I am, and I finally asked if she did that to avoid the possibility of giving money to someone who voted for Trump. And she admitted that was one of the reasons. I think that's awful, and we've been fighting about it ever since. She thinks as a gay woman, I should see her side, but I just can't. There are good people everywhere, and she went out of her way to avoid helping. We've been fighting about this ever since. Dear Prudence, who is right? Luckily, Dear Prudence and Slate somehow injected compassion and reasoning into their column with their reply, because that's not generally the case with Slate. But anyways, it took me a few times to parse this letter, because at first I thought your girlfriend was somehow concerned that someone in the Red Cross might have voted for Trump. But it sounds like she is actually reluctant to support human flood victims on the chance that they may have voted for him, which is nonsensical and unconscionable. Quote, as a society, we should help victims of natural disasters, quote, is a complete sentence that does not require additional clauses, addenda, or stipulations. This is worth fighting with your girlfriend about, and you should strongly oppose her bizarre moral calculus. But those in the media decided to continue to politicize this disaster in lieu of simple compassion by attacking Trump's executive branch, like Joy Reid. She tweeted out, no FEMA director, no NOAA director, and no head of DHS. Plus, an administration filled with cronies and climate change deniers. Going great. That got about 10,794 retweets, 15,553 likes. And of course, you know, this is the kind of thing that they do in the news media. Retractions. Similar to newspaper headlines. Placing the damning and misleading headline on the front page, while the correction appears days later, buried back on page 75, where nobody's going to read it. That's what came next. She followed it up. Correction. There is a FEMA director. Thanks to all the tweeps who corrected me on this. Keeping the tweet to salvage the replies. Thanks. That got 256 retweets, 1,120 likes. So that's about 0.024% of the people that actually saw or shared this correction retweeted it. Sounds about the way the media operates. And MSNBC took it upon themselves to do it too. They decided to get in the inside story on the reaction of the Texas government and the officials and how things were going by speaking to Texas Senator Ted Cruz. And while they asked, you know, as much as they could regarding the recovery and rescue efforts in Texas, they couldn't leave out the opportunity to throw a political gotcha question here at the very end.
I think that probably makes some sense, but
do you think
I know
he's going to be redirecting resources, though, that could have, but could those resources be used in Houston right now and other areas that are currently experiencing flooding?
Well, I am confident the federal government is going to devote the resources needed, and that is what my office is working hand in hand with local mayors, local county judges, local officials, police officers, and connecting them with state resources and federal resources. I'm confident that coordination will continue.
Final question, Senator. I know you're busy, and I want to let you get back to doing everything you can out there. But a lot of people are pointing out that you voted against aid for Sandy after that catastrophic storm up in the Northeast, that package back in 2012. And they're pointing at you and saying you're asking for money now when you weren't willing to help the people in the Northeast. What do you have to say to them?
Well, you know, look, there's time for political sniping later. I think our focus
really
needs to be on
sniping,
this crisis,
Senator,
and this disaster.
These are people who needed money and who needed funding right after that storm. I covered those people. Many of them, just like those in Houston, lost absolutely everything they owned.
Well, Katie, of course that's right. And the accurate thing to say is that I and a number of others enthusiastically and emphatically supported hurricane relief for Sandy. Hurricane relief and disaster relief has been a vital federal role for a long, long time, and it should continue. The problem with that particular bill is it became a $50 billion bill that was filled with unrelated pork. Two-thirds of that bill had nothing to do with Sandy. And what I said then and still believe now is that it's not right for politicians to exploit a disaster and people are hurting to pay for their own political wish list. Disaster relief needs to be focused on the victims of disaster relief, and I supported that for Sandy disaster relief there, and I would support that anywhere there's a major disaster without getting distracted by political unnecessary pork spending.
And Texas, and Senator, let's hope everybody in Texas is getting absolutely there.
And see, what MSNBC doesn't understand is that, first off, backing Ted Cruz into a corner isn't always the best course of action. Now, he's going to try to restrain himself, and he's going to slowly kick into gear because he doesn't want to politicize this tragedy. But the reporter continued to press the issue, and that's when Senator Cruz spoke of the pork, or the added spending measures that had nothing to do with the intentions of the proposal and how it wasn't helpful to the recovery efforts whatsoever, which is why they voted against it. You know, the political idea that's being bandied about, the narrative that the political left is throwing around with Republicans and the reaction to Hurricane Harvey is, well, you know, you didn't vote for a relief for those in need during Hurricane Sandy. You didn't have compassion. Well, yeah, that's easy to say on the surface. Yeah, they didn't vote for the Sandy relief bill. But when you read what's actually in it, there's a reason. Heritage.org covered it in specifics, and it goes like this. The $60 billion measure is ostensibly aimed at providing relief for the victims of Hurricane Sandy. Most of the funding, however, goes well beyond assisting actual victims. Moreover, none of the spending is offset by reductions elsewhere. It would be allowed to exceed current spending limits by exploiting two exceptions built into the Budget Control Act, the BCA. One for additional disaster relief funds, and another for emergency spending. Most of the $9.7 billion in borrowing authority in the relief package will be needed to pay benefits to thousands of Sandy victims who hold insurance contracts with the program and have paid premiums for the coverage. The legislation also contains $5.4 billion for repairing tunnels and other infrastructure damaged by the hurricane, another legitimate proposal. But apart from that, much of the $60.4 billion in requested emergency spending is aimed at either mitigating future events and repairing or replacing federal assets. One of Obama's requested items, less than $23 billion of the $60.4 billion that involves addressing emergency damages sustained by state and local governments, private sector businesses, and individuals. As a point of perspective, with the vast majority of homes and businesses privately insured, the total cost estimate for the entire private industry is just more than $20 billion. So why is federal spending proposal three times as large? The bill includes money to improve weather forecasting by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, funds for weather research programs, additional cash for upgrading NOAA reconnaissance aircraft, and state and tribal assistance grants for clean water and pollution control. These items should clearly be run through the regular budget and appropriations process rather than tacked onto an emergency spending bill as a kind of wish list of agency request. So you've just witnessed an act of political propaganda right there in real time, as delivered to you by the mainstream media. The narrative of, well, the Republicans are heartless and they voted against federal relief and now they're out there asking for it from themselves. That's how it's being framed. But what you can clearly see is that the real truth is those in the Senate who were fiscally responsible, elected officials that were worried about fiscal responsibility, saw that the relief bill, which they saw it was being politically exploited, it was dogpiled with wishlist project items, unnecessary spending, and just wasteful items. Stuff that should have been voted in other areas. They shouldn't have been tacked onto a bill. Those proposing the bill were holding this pistol to their heads and saying, go ahead, vote this bill down. You're going to look like a heartless, evil political hack. But what Ted Cruz and the others voted against was actually, you know, they kicked it back to the drawing board and demanded them, hey, make this fiscally responsible. Take all this garbage out of here and make the federal funding directly allocated to those who need it. This is something the media will never include in their reporting because they want to use this as a way to destroy their political enemies, who are everybody on the right, because they don't have anybody on the left that they ever scrutinize, in the place of simply reporting the news. And this is why the news media cannot be trusted. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
I want to wrap up this show on a couple things we need to keep in perspective that we've basically been taught this week. I mean, it was really instructive beginning on Saturday evening into Sunday. Sunday more so than ever. And throughout the week. I mean, who are you? Who am I? Who are we as a people? Are we the type that's going to make a human chain and water up to our necks so that we can help save a pregnant woman and pull them to safety? Are we going to be the type that's going to be like the 15-year-old kid who's going to jump in a speedboat, drive around, and pick up people, maybe the guy on the jet ski, saving people from cars that are submerged underwater? Are we going to be those type of people? Or are we going to be the type that says, well, I was going to tweet, pray for Texas, but then I remember you voted for the GOP. Are we going to be the type that's going to get up there at MTV and spend our time, our platform that's available to us, to just spout off about how we're still 7 months in to a new presidency? We're still angry and pissed that we got a different president. Are we still going to whine about this? Are we going to be the type like charitablehumans.org, this charity that said, I just can't bring myself to even consider providing any aid to a red state. Let them clean up their own mess. Yeah, they actually said that. And they went further. Any state that elects a Republican needs to be incinerated. There have to be severe consequences. And then they went further to even say why. They have God and the Republican Party to help them. Red states hate handouts. Let's not offend them. It's not wise to be generous to sociopaths that will never return it in kind. Red states screwed themselves. Any state that elects a Republican needs to be incinerated, as I said before. It's amazing what a charitable organization is going to put out as a message point. But in this time of despair, in this time of division throughout the country at the same time, who are you and I as a people? Are we the type that's going to show up in droves to a rally where it was a peaceful Patriots prayer rally or something like that? And we're going to frame them as being white supremacists when there were no white supremacists available to be found, just simple Trump supporters or GOP supporters? Are we going to show up in black mask and black clothing and hoods and attack them with shields and you know, soda cans filled with cement and pepper spray and beat the living tar out of a father and son and put somebody that's going home from the grocery store into a coma? You better examine yourself and decide which side you're on. Obviously, we know what side MTV's on. Obviously, we know what side the Democrat Party's on. We know what side Hollywood's on. We know what side the mainstream media is on. They would rather see us burn America to the ground destroy the republic and rebuild it with something new. But the true essence of America, what they call the silent majority, is not so silent right now. And you can see it in Houston. And you can see it in Galveston and Corpus Christi. And you'll see it in Louisiana. You will see people come together, and they're not going to look at somebody that needs to be pulled out of the water and say, hey, who did you vote for? Are you a Trump supporter? Yeah, screw you. I'm going to leave you here. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see somebody go, well, you're black and I'm white. I'm not going to carry the safety. You're not going to see somebody say, oh, well, you might be a cis transgender, non-conforming, two-spirited, pansexual. I'm going to just leave you here. That's not going to happen in America. Not the America that I know. So we need to re-examine ourselves and start thinking about who we are. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. You can listen to me on Talk America Radio every Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Saturday evening, it replays at 10 p.m. on the Liberty Channel. You can tune in to the Justice Channel Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then it's going to replay on Talk America Radio Justice Channel at 8 a.m. Sunday morning. Check out the iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn podcasts. They're available for on-demand listening. Check out our website, adriansladeshow.com, and donate at Patron at Adrian Slade Show. Patron at Adrian Slade Show. We'll see you guys next time.